We're learning Taisves Yomi. We're in Maseches Kiddushin on page 63. This is Daf Samech Gimel. Really, the Taisves is on the Amud base, on the top of the Amud, but we will have to see the exact cases which are on the bottom of the Amud Aleph. The fourth line from the bottom. I say it just in short, just as a summary. The basic question is how to do a kiddushin with the consent of the parents, which I think is a very relevant issue oftentimes, because we want our parents to have their agreement to our marriage, so it's a good thing to have. But what if somebody does such a tenai, such a condition for his kiddushin, that okay, I will marry you, provided that my father agrees as well. The problem with such a condition is that it's really not clear what the father's consent would imply. Is it a really agreement like, yes, I want it? Or is it like protesting, no, I don't want it, or is it good if it's just not protesting, or is it good if just like silence? Silence, oftentimes we say shtika kahayda, silence is like as if it were agreement, but our case is special in the sense of the time. Because here we have the time. What is the factor of the time in our case? Time means that one day we want to know whether or not we are married. And this has a problem. If we say, and this is, I think that this is really the core of all problems which this has, is true that you know there is also often on the side of our Vilna Shas edition, we have some other Rishonim than just Rashi Taisves. In this Maseches, this is Taisves Ri HaZaken, and Taisves Ri HaZaken has a whole long explanation throughout Amud Beis. It's really full of this case, which is really short in Gemara. Also, Rashi is kind of Ma'arich in this case. Anyway, the core of the problems, as I said, is the fact that if you say, the father can always protest. This means you'll never know if you're married. So we want to have a boundary. If we have a boundary, it's easy. This is the solution of Rabbi Yosef Bar Ami at the end of the sugya, really. He says, Shloishim Yoim, which is a kind of... Okay, so he says that it's also, so the father has the right to protest for 30 days. Sounds very nice. Nobody knows where does he get the 30 days from. My Hevruta suggested maybe from Nazir, because Nazir, we know, Stam Nazirus Shreshim Yom. I don't know what's the connection with Nazirus. Don't ask me such a question. Rashi says 30, as I understood Rashi at least, 30 has no relevance whatsoever to the specific case. It is really something that it's just an ukimta. This is really we are reading the Mishnah as if it were speaking about such a case where the chosen said when the prospective husband said that he wants such a term for the father in order to protest. But if he says 10 days, then it's 10 days. If he says 40 days, it's 40 days. So it's really nothing specific about 30 days. Anyway, if you don't have such a term specified by the chosen, then you're in a problem. Then you can have several cases. First, the two problematic cases mentioned. Are mentioned in the Mishnah. One is if the father dies, other is the son dies. If the father dies, it can be a problem when you are expecting his agreement. Mishnah tells us not so. You're not expecting his agreement, so it's for sure that either you can deal with the case of shtika or with mechoa. Okay, so I translate for you the cases. Shtika meaning silence, and mechoa means protest. And if you really read the Gemara carefully, you can get what is the first step in Tosfos, which is the slight difference between the two. So, throughout Shas, you have a concept of imecha, meaning not protesting. Not protesting is something like a silent agreement, but it's really not the same. Okay, so let's just see the text. I show you quickly the text, and I show you the concepts, and I show you the most important concepts necessary for a Tosfos. Mishnah says, Almanas sheyirtze Abba. Okay, this is the condition. I want my father's consent to my marriage. Rotza ha'av mekudeshes v'im lavinu mekudeshes. Okay, so you're seemingly innocent. If the father says yes, if the father wants, then it's okay. If the doesn't want, not okay. So seemingly this is like obvious. Really, I tell you, it's not obvious at all. Because this is the most strict thing in the Mishnah, which makes it very, very hard to understand in the light of the other cases listed in the Mishnah. Because this seems to be as a clear-cut thing. Rotzah of Mekudeshes. Okay, so there should be a point where when the father should say, yes, I want it. So this is where the Gemara says, my almanas sheyirtze Abba, what is this thing that if my father wants it, how do I know if my father wants it or not? Best case, you ask and he answers, but in Gemara things are not so simple. Ilema ad de amar abain. Okay, so let's say it's about, and this is really the natural deduction from this case, from the simple case. Rotzahav, mekudeshes imlav, ena mekudeshes. Ad de omar abaim. So the father should say yes. Ema metziasa. But this doesn't fit well with the second case, which is the father dying. Because what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, "Meso ofarezu mekudeshes." Immediately, as soon as the father dies, the girl is and mekudeshes. How could it be? Isn't it the case? So from the second case you derive, from the first case you derive, it's clear cut. From the second case you derive, okay, it's not clear cut. It's either imechala, either not protesting, or silent consent. One moment, we'll see the difference. Gemara says, okay, so if we go with the first theory, that we need the father's explicit consent, that you don't find his consent because he died. Hello, almanas sheyishtoik Abba. Okay, so this is the condition is that the father should be silent, and Tosfos explains in a moment why is it a case of silent, of I say it as in a point in a time, so as a split second. So the father has some time to be silent. Which time? When he is being told the marriage offer. So then the father has the chance to react, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just silent. Why do we want this? Why is it good for us? This is very good for us. Since this is the second case of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Mesa of Harizu Mekudeshes. Yes, because he doesn't say nothing. Doesn't say the thing. Okay. And what is the third case? Third case in the Mishnah, Meis HaBen. Okay, so if the son dies, then we cannot speak about marriage anymore. But we can speak about the Yibum. If there was, if it really was a marriage, then the girl forced the Yibum. The girl forced the Yibum, and supposedly she doesn't want this whole procedure of Yibum. So the Mishnah says, good advice. So we teach the father to say that no, you really don't want, which is not some kind of deception, because you can tell the father really the consequences, which can convince him. So it's not fooling him, and it's not forcing him. So it's just about you tell him what does it involve, so that he will have all the necessary information for the decision, and then he can say, really, I don't want it. Meaning, he has a chance again to protest, even though, and this may be a question, so let's try to memorize it. If I forgot it, you remember it. Okay, so this could be a question at the end of the Tosfos. You can see in YouTube or MP3, the second when I said this, because at the end of Tosfos, as good as I remember, this case is just skipped from the interpretation of the Tosfos, so this is not so easy to fit to Tosfos interpretation. Okay. The point being, second and third case, the father and the son dies. I tell you the Gemara. The Gemara says, The Gemara has a suggestion. Rashi says, "Keshe yishma rotza av sheshosak bishas shmiya." So this is really the father has the chance to protest, and he does not do this in the time when he hears it. So the girl is mekodeshes. And this is the time for the father to protest. This is the case of Yishtoik. Yishtoik meaning a single point in time when he could have protested and didn't. And this shtika kehaida adame, this silence of his, can be interpreted as he wanted the kiddushin. Okay, ima seifa. Doesn't fit well with the end. So the first part doesn't fit well with the... First part suggests something which doesn't fit well with the second part. Second part suggests something doesn't fit well with the third part. Okay, we can fit really the second and third part well, as you will see soon. But then you will have a problem with the first part of the Mishnah. Okay, we won't get there. I just want you to show the case of Shtika and Mechala. Okay, so let's see the case of Mechala, which is the case of protesting, in a sefa. Mei saben, melamdin esa'ov, loimar she'inai roitze, amai. So why should we teach the father to protest? Vashosik. Okay, so this is a clear proof. You cannot. If you are going with the previous theory of shtika, which is a shtika, in the time that he learned, in the time that he knew about, for the first time he knew about the marriage offer, so it won't work. Once you were silent in the time that you could have protested, then it's too late to protest. Only one possibility remains, that if we leave you time to protest more. Maybe more time to protest. First approach, this is endless. You can protest any time. And this case really fits well with the second and the third, but won't fit well with the first, as you will see in Tosfos soon, but I can tell it to you because it's really very easy, because the Mishnah says so. The Mishnah says that it's not, it cannot be. There must be, if you remember, this is what we started the shiur with. That there must be a clear-cut point when we can say Rotza ha'av mekudeshes. So there must be a point in time when you can say conclusively, okay, mazel tov, you're married, you're engaged. But if the father is preserving, maybe, the right to protest always, this will be not true. So this is the conclusion of the Gemara. Amai Hashosik. Hashosik meaning he was once silent, so he cannot protest anymore. El Omar La Al Menas Shela Imche. Imechola. This is the case of Imechola. He was not protesting, which is an endless. So I want to just as a summary. There are two very similar cases which we have seen. One is shtika, one is silence. And the other is imechua, is not protesting. And what's the difference in our case between being silent and not protesting? Being silent is a one-time issue. Once in a lifetime you were silent, that's it. Your silence counts as if you were agreeing. This is a one-time issue. Masha enkein, in the case of not protesting, which is endless, you can always protest later on, which you make very hard, in which case you make very hard the life of your son. But anyway, this is what he wanted, according to the Mishnah. Okay. And if you want to know which one is true, you see the first case. From the first case, you see that the truth is that this is one time issue, but it cannot go well with the third case, because the third case can go only if it's limitless, if it's endless. Because any other way, father cannot protest at any later point of time. So really, this is the problem. Whether we do limit or don't limit the time, as I said so many times. Okay, now you know the case. Now you can understand what Taisfes has to say. Okay, the Gemara now starts to speak about other things which are not relevant to this particular Taisfes. Ella almenas sheishtak abba. The second offer was yishtak, which was a one-time issue. Perish bekuntres. Rashi explained sheishtak beshas shmiya, that he should be silent in the time of when he heard it. Just to tell to you an example, a similar case is Nedorim. We all know that husbands have a certain right granted by the Torah to be mefer the Nedorim of their wives. Some of the Nedorim of their wives, they can annul the vows which about self-affliction, because they are nogei abadavar. They are also affected by the effect of such a vow. So husbands has such a right, but this is a limited right on the day when he hears it until sunset. So this is something similar, maybe. Maybe similar to a case when he heard it exactly samuch l'shkia, a few minutes before sunset, and he has to protest immediately. And if he doesn't protest immediately, then okay, this means that it's okay. I think, okay, so the first idea, just as a context, the first idea, you may think that this is not so relevant of a case in real life, because usually the case is, I ask my father, do you want or don't you want? You want? Good. It's okay. Don't you want? No, good. It's not okay. Just as simple as in the first case of our Mishnah. But maybe it's not that so, because maybe you really want to marry this girl, and maybe your father don't want you to marry, or not like black and white, because things are always not that black and white. Maybe he doesn't protest, but he sort of doesn't feel like that this girl would be the ideal daughter-in-law for her. So, in such a case, you would present it, and you would mention the idea of the marriage, but just by derech agav. By the way, did you know? I just wanted to marry this girl, or just really like put in a different context. So this could be a trickery, which would come to mind when one wants to deal with such real life situations, and in such cases there. This is already relevant to understand that maybe this can speak potentially about such a case when the father's silent maybe can be counted as a consent. Okay, so back to Taisvis. Pirish bekontras sheishtek b'shasa shmiya. So the father should. This is Rashi's explanation, which Taisvis agrees, subscribes to this explanation this time. In the time when you heard it, but elafar sheishtek loyelum, and it's not possible really to to explain it as ishtek loyelum. Where Taisvis will soon say why, but let me say some other ideas. So the next line in the Gemara says not so. The Gemara says so explicitly. Eina seifa meisabel melamdim esav laimar sheino yoreitze amai v'hashosik. Amai v'hashosik. So here the Gemara says amai v'hashosik. How can it be? He was silent. So how can he protest again when he was already silent? So the Gemara says that this really cannot be true. But Taisvis, I don't know why, he goes in another idea. He says, "Ein lefarish sheishtek lo'olam deim kein, haynu shelo yimche, debesamach." So he discusses another case, which is shelo yimche, which is another case. And the lo yimche case, the imechua case, is a case of infinite time, without bound, unbounded time. And the case of shtika is single moments on the timeline. Vehechi omar bohem rotza ha'av mekudeshes. Vehare shemayimche. Achar kach. Veibote la kiddushin. This seems to be like another question. Vehechi omar bohem rotza ha'av mekudeshes. I don't know how this is connected really to this previous issue. He really started up with saying that shtika here means single moment on time. Now he starts to speak about another issue. Hechi omar bohem rotzaha av mekudeshes. So for the first case we see that the first case must be a time-bound case. Oh, maybe this is proving the fact that that the case of Imechua is an unbounded one. So Taisvis now goes on and prove that this is unbounded, so this is bounded, because this is not the same as this. So there is a difference between these two cases, Shtika and Imechua. One is bounded, one is unbounded. And this must be unbounded. Vai vehechi omar bohem rotza av mekudeshes. והרי שמה ימחה אחר כך ויבוטל הקידושין אלא שמה מינה שישתוק בשס שמיה כיומר. So for the second case to go well with the first case, now I'm starting to get what it is. The Gemara does its job. You have three cases and you see that all three doesn't fit well in a box. So you must make a compromise. So the Gemara does the compromise to fit case 2 and case 3 in the same box and put case 1 in another box. So Taisvis now makes another decision. He makes case 1 and 2 together. Okay. And this is really Yishtoik, the case of Yishtoik. So he says, Yishtoik is a nice case. Yishtoik fits well. If Yishtoik is really bounded, it's really about a single point in time, then this can fit well with the first case mentioned, which was Rotza of Mekudeshes, which sounds as if I said before many times, this sounds as bounded. Okay, so this is bounded, good. First and second case are bounded. Third is unbounded. So let's put case 1 and case 2 in one box. Very nice. This is what he says. Ein lafer sheishtek lo'olam deim kein haynu shelo yimche debesamach. Vehechi omar bohem rotza av mekudeshes. So how is it possible to think of case 2 and case 1 on the same terms? Vehare shema yimche achar kach veibotel hakidushin. If he protests later on, the kiddushin will be botel. So case 3 and case 1, they are really... they won't fit in one box. So you really have these two separations. 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Okay, the question is, where do you put the second kiss? Okay, so we go further. So really, it speaks about a case when the father was silent in the time that he heard about the marriage offer. So this is a long, somewhat longer explanation of this idea of yishtoik. Now we read our whole, almost whole, Mishnah according to this interpretation of yishtoik. Ratzav, if the father wants it, what does it mean? So he was silent when he heard it. Mekudeshes. Okay, then this mekudeshes. Lo ratzav elo micho. Eino mekudeshes. The father was protesting at the time when he heard, then the marriage won't work. Okay, this was the first case. Clear, easy. We understand. Second case, meshav, mekudeshes. Why? Okay, so if the father has died, then he's mekudeshes. We could say that, yes, because, why? Okay, because he was not protesting, we said so far. Not true, says Taisfes, not true. Because we just stipulated, really we are speaking with about a case when he must be silent when he hears about it. Did he hear about it? In his life? Either yes or no. If he did, he was silent. Then it's nothing new here. If he heard, he protested, she cannot be mekudeshes. So we must say, no other possibilities, just that he really didn't heard. Okay, so if he didn't heard about it, why exactly is she mekudeshes? So we would need a consent from the part of the father, which is silence. So how do you know when the father dies, how do you know that he's agreeing? So if you know that, if you say that, oh, I know my father would agree, okay, so why do you ask? Why do you ask him? So you need something silent from the part of the father, but poor father, it's just silence that he can give. Because he is not living anymore. So this is what Taisfes says. This is the real problem of Taisfes here. The second case. Mesa of Mekudeshes Perush. Mesa of Koide Mashmiye. So really he died before he heard about the whole thing. The Eloi Mar Achar Hashmiya, it's just not possible to think that this was already Achar Hashmiya, that he already heard Veshosak, Veloi Micho, and he wasn't protesting. The Enza Chidush, so it's really nothing new. This is also the second case and the first case cannot be the same. And this way, if you read it this way, then they are the same. So now we are standing at a point when the father is dead, and we ask, okay, so what have he said? What would have he said if he would heard? If he heard it, nothing, possibly. Why? How do you know? Vim Taimar, me achar de meis koide mashmiya. Since he was dying before he heard it, heyech he mekudeshes. How is it possible that she should be mekudeshes? Oh, here we see our question. Dilma, ihave shoma. Have moiche. Would it, maybe he hears and he protests? How do you know? V'yesh lo emar, where interesting thing comes. Umdan dat. De'yesh lanu ladon dasay shelo yimche. That it is incumbent upon us to evaluate his thoughts after his death, that he won't protest. Very, very interesting thing. What does this mean? How can you evaluate the thoughts? What would we say? Taisfes says, "Leishlonu, it is incumbent upon us." Who is this us who has this obligation of evaluation the thinking of the father. I have two suggestions. One suggestion is the rabbis. The rabbis who are paskening the halacha. It is incumbent upon the rabbis to explain, in general, a Jewish father, a religious Jewish father, what would he say if his son comes with a marriage offer? Would he protest or no? And maybe the rabbis say, no, it's not part of the general workings of a Jew that he is just protesting around against his son's marriage. This is just not the way it is. This is just not shaykh to say such a thing. So in such a case, we have a possibility of Omdan Das, which is always evaluating one's thoughts, which is always possible if you cannot ask himself for some reason. Usually the reason for doing such a thing is that he is involved in the case, and maybe we're concerned that he won't tell the truth if you just ask him directly. Now it's an exception, it's not such a case. Here we cannot ask him because he's not present anymore in this world. And then we must evaluate his thoughts. And we evaluate that all Jewish fathers would love this, but you cannot use this tool for a living father. So this is the Chiddush of the Mishnah according to this interpretation. I have another interpretation, that the Beis Din must evaluate the father's thought. The Beis Din must somehow consider all the circumstances and decide whether or not this is the case. Okay, this is very nice. Beis Din has some free workings, but there is a problem then with the text of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says what the din is. The Mishnah says that Meisa'ov Arezu Mekudeshes. Okay, so we don't see the Umden Dat here. But from the text of Taisfes, you can say the Yesh Lanu Ladun Das Ishelai. So it's incumbent upon us. Maybe this is the rabbis of the Beis Din, and not the rabbis, not the poiskim. If they are the rabbis of the Beis Din, then the Mishnah is teaching us that it is possible, or it is probable, that they will get to the end result of a father not protesting. But this is also possible that they will find out that the father will protest. Maybe the Mishnah is just giving over the reshus, just giving over the opportunity in the hands of the Beis Din to decide about the case with a way of Umdan Das. And he is saying that he is Mekudeshes, in the sense that if the Beis Din decides, they can decide that he is Mekudeshes. If they evaluate the thoughts and the outcome of this evaluation is that he would have agreed. But if not, no. Maybe no. Maybe they will come to the end result. And this is the case, this is really the reasoning according to this the second explanation of mine, that why was it not written in the Mishnah Eino Mekudeshes? Because then it's really dependent upon the Beis Din. What do they say? They decide whether she is Mekudeshes or not. So why does the Mishnah choose the case of Mekudeshes? I think maybe because this could be a bigger of a Chiddush. Maybe because this is a bigger of a chiddush, that they can even say such a thing, they can even say an agreement in the name of the father who cannot say anything anymore. But I'm really not sure in this second interpretation, so this can also be a subject of further thinking. Okay, so this is an interesting suggestion for the second case. We are evaluating the father's thoughts. We're in Toimar. And here comes, really, up until this point, it was like very straightforward. There was one special idea trying to applying this idea of Shtike to the second case, which was not done by the Gemara, but Taisfes made it up. And it was mushroom, he completed what is missing, he was filling in the holes, and we would expect from ourselves to do something similar. But what comes here, somewhat tricky. You need good heads to eat. You need to remember the cases. And you need to remember. And Teshuva says, really, this reasoning of an Umd and Das could have been applied earlier in the Gemara, what you already have seen, he says. Veim toimar im kein maiporich vehala yomar in. So, this is the above case. Let me remind you. He says in the Gemara, my almanas sheirtze abba. What does it mean, almanas sheirtze abba? Ilima ad de omar abba in. So let us say in the first approach, we would need the consent of the father. We would need the explicit agreement of the father. Ema metzias, so this doesn't fit well with the second case. Mesa alfar is a mekudeshes ve'alayo marin. Okay, so if... what is this that is mekudeshes? What is this that is mekudeshes? Ve'alayo marin. He didn't say yes. Okay, he didn't say yes, but we have an umd and das, says Toisves. Very easy. We can evaluate the thoughts of the father either the Beis Din or the Poiskim, according to these two explanations which I presented. Anyway, one of them could very nicely evaluate the thoughts of the father, based upon which this is really no question. So really, the Gemara stops here. According to Taisves, it doesn't go any further. We stop here, and that's the case. We are being evaluating this. Maybe he would have some problems with the third part of the Mishnah when the child is dying. But really, this is just the opposite direction which the Gemara chooses to go. The Gemara chooses to go that he doesn't really answer the question. He really answers the question by changing the premise. And Taisva says it's not necessary. You could have said, Umd and Das, we are evaluating the thoughts of the deceased father. This is what Taisva says. In came my porich vehalayo marin. Amay alayo marin on Das. Amay alayo marin on Das. Sayo alayo marin. Okay, so he died, but he wanted to say yes. He wanted to say yes to the Kiddushin of his son, to the new daughter-in-law. He wanted to say yes because it is general and he's deceased and you cannot ask him no more. So you are Rashai. You have the right to evaluate his thoughts. Why not? Amay lo yamin on data iho yaloi marim. Im have shoma. Poor father would have heard this, he would consented with a full heart. Kide tzrichin ole meimar gabe shesika, kide pereshis, which is not that far-fetched thing to allow us, says Taisves. It's not that far-fetched. Don't say that it's far-fetched to say that okay, we have the right to evaluate, to put something in the mouth, to open the mouth of the dead, and put new things in there, to put new reasonings, give them new reasonings, and they cannot speak. So one could say that no, this is not a mezdiga. This is not the right thing to do. He is dead, and he maybe protests. Taisves says no, it cannot be, because in the second case, if you just think about the consequences as we just did it, then you must say this. You have no other option. You must do this. So if you must do this in the second case, why can't you do this for free in the first case? So this is Taisves' question. This is a good question, I think. I think this is Rabbeinu Meir. So one Taisves says, the yesh lechalek ben heka de mechusar amira leheka de lo mechusar elo sheteka. I don't know if this answer is a conclusive one. I think that this question can be left open. What Rabbi Meir says, there is an obvious difference between the two cases, the first and the second case. The first case was a case of explicit consent, explicit agreement, we would need the father to say explicitly, yes, I want, I agree. In the second case, we don't need it. In the second case was the case of shtika, which means the father has to be silent after hearing the marriage offer. And it's much easier to be silent than to say a wholehearted yes. This is what Rabbi Meir has to say, which answers our problem. Because this is a really good reason for why to accept this evaluation of thinking in the second case of shtika, but it's not good in the case when we need the father to say it explicitly, which means in plain language that when we are evaluating how does this person thinking, then we say that I'm sure that he would have not protested. This we could say. This is true. This can be true. But you cannot say, no, he would have agreed. This you cannot say also. So you cannot be that convinced. You can be convinced that he will not protest, but you cannot be so convinced that he will agree. And this is the bottom line in Tosfos, but I think that this is also something to think about.